I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to episode number 6 or 7 of the Road to Division 1 with myself and Andy Buchanan. Just talking off air, not sure if it's episode 6 or 7, so a bit of confusion there, and didn't take the time to look it up, so low preparation, we're very sorry about that, but thank you for joining us for another episode. A bit has changed since I saw this person last week. Oh, maybe not. Yeah, it was last week, Monday last week, 8 days ago. We ran together on the Gold Coast, not a problem in the world, and both thought we were going to rock up for a weekend of racing on the Gold Coast, which never happened. Andy Buchanan, welcome to this week's episode.
Yeah, cheers, Brady. I was actually, that was going to be my first line is, geez, things have changed since I last saw you.
Oh, I know, so much has changed.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I remember that run just up in sunny Gold Coast, pretty happy, just kind of cruising along. As you said, not a worry in the world. And here we are back in freezing cold Victoria, and probably not as banged up as what we were hoping to be.
Yeah, yep. You're out of isolation. We'll talk a bit about that a bit later on. I'm still in isolation waiting for my COVID result to come back, but we've gone from one end of Australia to the other. Yeah, some really bad timing COVID cases. And I was talking on Inside Running last night. I don't think we even considered the race would have been cancelled on that Monday when we ran together last, the Monday of race week. Like, it didn't even come up, did it?
Nah, not at all. Not at all. So, I don't know. A few people kind of spoke to me. I've spoken to a few people over the last few days, and they're kind of like, oh, but surely you were probably up there going like, oh, maybe it won't go ahead. But because I was just in my own little bubble. I was staying by myself. I wasn't really interacting with anyone outside of the odd person I'd go for a run with. And I was just fully like, yep, it's going ahead. It's business as normal. But then kind of upon reflection, I was like, hang on, no. The whole place was under lockdown. Like, of course it wasn't going ahead. But like, I was just so, yeah, in my little bubble. And for me, and you're probably the same, it was like, all right, we've escaped Victoria / New South Wales, so everything's going to be fine. Like, I just, yeah, I don't know. I think I just finally was like, yep, I'm up here. It's all going to be sweet. But as you said, it was just super bad timing. Like, if it was a week earlier, we would have been fine. If it was a week later, we probably would have been fine. Just really bad timing. So really unfortunate for a lot of people there. So, yeah, I don't know. Bit of a tough week, but that's all right.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But, yeah, you're right, because I'm repeating a lot of stuff that I said last night on Inside Running, but this might go out before the people hear that one publicly, so you might hear it here first, actually. Gold Coast pretty much had their, like, four-week lockdown in, like, April when we had the national lockdown in 2020. And then I don't think they would have missed a weekend sporting events or any kind of events since then. Like, I reckon they nearly had 60, 65 weekends in a row of events happening in that town. And then the poor buggers at the event. Like, imagine planning that, and yeah, that happened to you on race week, and one of the first events to lose to.
Like, yeah,
that's got to hit them really hard. Like, I've got no idea how the financial situation with these events works, but I can only imagine that that would be tough to bounce back from.
Yeah, pretty tough. And I reckon you're right about Gold Coast, because I was chatting to a few Uber drivers just as they would kind of take me around the place, and a few of them were complaining about having to wear masks. And I was just like, oh, be careful who you say that to, because there could be some Victorians that, if that's what you're complaining about, they might get a little bit pissed off with you, because they've been through a fair bit more than what you have, having to wear a mask. But yeah, it's tough. And I feel for, like, I was talking with Ryan McDonald, who's the elite athlete coordinator, and he was just in the lead up. He went from obviously no Victorian people were going to make it to, oh yes, Victorian people can make it, to then no New South Wales people can make it. And then just obviously going from that to nothing. Like, it's just, you feel for these people who put in on a normal weekend or normal week of race day. Obviously, they work flat out, but then you put in all these extra things, and it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I hope all those people have managed to have a week off after not having the event last weekend.
It must be like a bad dream for them. And then, like, the news that, like, certain states have shut their borders. Like, before it got cancelled, so you're like, all right, there goes Jess Trengrove, or there goes Millie Clark. She's in a different state, and all of a sudden, like, there just must have been hit after hit after hit, and then they come out and say, hey, we're doing a three-day lockdown. And initially I thought, I'm like, oh, this could be good. They'll do 3 days, and then everything will go back to, like, 100% normal on the Saturday.
Yeah.
They might scrap the races from the Saturday, and then Sunday is going to be business as usual. Maybe they offer the half marathoners. I actually said to Archie, I'm like, I might run the marathon Sunday. If they scrap the half, I'm like, I'm going to run a marathon, see if I can break 220 again. Like, I was totally naive, and I'm like, yeah, we can do this, Queensland. We've got this covered. Because there weren't cases on the Gold Coast. But I think it's such a national event that they would, like, highly rely on all the other states getting there.
Yeah, and I remember when I saw that they went into lockdown, I remember seeing a message from you, and I completely agreed, and you were like, no, this is good, because they'll get on top of it, and then it'll just be business as normal. And I was thinking the exact same thing, and I was just like, yep, this is awesome. This means we'll be able to definitely kind of get rid of these cases, get on top of things, and then we'll be right to go. And it was a pretty big shock when the news came through. Like, I know my phone, like, I was kind of staying off a fair bit of, like, Twitter and all that kind of stuff, just because it was a pretty big, pretty big lead up for me, obviously leaving Victoria, going to New South Wales, and then going from New South Wales to going to Gold Coast a week earlier. And that was, I know there was a lot of people who were, they obviously only had my best interests at heart, but there was a lot of people saying, you should be doing this, you should be doing this, what are you doing, you should be doing this kind of thing. So I kind of had started to block a fair bit of that out.
I was one of those. I'm like, get across the border, Andy, get across the border.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, so I just wasn't really, I was trying to stay off my phone a fair bit. And I can't even remember what day it was, but my phone, I think I got about 5 messages in about 2 seconds. And I was just like, what the hell is going on here? And then it was just like, yeah, I remember just seeing it and then just being, I don't know what I did for the next 5 minutes. I think I just stared out the window. It was just like, it was just such a heavy feeling, just going from, yeah, I'm running a marathon in 5 days to, shit, what are we doing kind of thing. So yeah, it was a strange week, very strange, but it's I don't know, it's good to be back in Victoria, good to be home, and good to be out of self-isolation. So it's been a journey. There's definitely been a journey, and you'd probably agree as well, you kind of went up a few days early, but at least you got to have a bit of a family holiday towards the end there.
I'm in a different category altogether. Like, yeah, I'm not even, I think when we've, you know, you and I both were preparing athletes for the marathon as well, and I know what goes into a marathon block, and obviously hearing about your training documented and following on Strava and all those kind of things, like, I'm annoyed I didn't get an opportunity to run a half marathon, but it's nothing near the annoyance I've got for, you know, the government pretty much letting us down for guys like you who deserve to run. And like, there's big consequences. Like, I was trying to explain to someone the other day, like, you miss opportunities to win prize money and pretty good prize money at that. Opportunities to hit qualifying times for the world champs and you know, potentially Comm Games, which is going to be in 2022. And there's also opportunities, like I was talking to someone about this the other week, of like getting one on the board and then going a bit quicker the next time. Like an opportunity for even those sub-elite guys, the 220 guy to jump to 217, so then he can potentially run 215 in the next one. Little things like that. Like it's so frustrating to know all the work that you guys put in and didn't get an opportunity to show it. But like, take us back to like the first, so was it like frustration, pissed off, annoyance, like sadness? Like what kind of emotions when you first heard the news?
Yeah, probably just mainly just like disappointment, I suppose. Just you put in, people that have done a marathon, Bill, will probably have a better understanding of this, is it's, and you just kind of spoke about it there, where it's so different to a half or a 10K or a five or anything like that. Like it's just so different. And I reckon every day for probably the last half a year, I thought about this marathon. If it's when the alarm goes off and you're like, oh man, I can't be bothered getting out of bed. It's this is why I'm getting out of bed. Like it is a key race for a long time. And it's something you think about when you're hurting in a session. It's something you think about when you can't be bothered going to the gym. It's something you think about when you can't be bothered getting up. So it's definitely a lot different to any other race that I've ever like built towards. And it was just, I don't know, I was really, really excited because it was such a strange, well, unique opportunity where there was going to be an awesome lead group full of a lot of people doing their first marathon, and they were all Australians. And like just the thoughts of, hey, if I run well, I could possibly like win a Gold Coast Marathon, which is just like, I don't know, to me that would be super special. And I know a lot of the other guys were probably thinking the same thing. So it was a very like unique opportunity. So I just felt, I don't know, really disappointed that I didn't like, get to challenge myself and kind of see what I could do, and kind of get one on the board. And we were going to use it as a bit of a, like Scotty kind of says, it takes you three till you kind of really start to figure out the marathon. And we were using it as a nice little, I don't know, hopefully get a good result on the board, but also a nice little learning curve and a nice little kind of springboard to some other marathons. So it was just, really disappointing. That was probably my main feeling. And I just kind of, I went for a run probably 20, 30 minutes afterwards because I just felt like I needed to get away from my phone and just kind of, clear my mind a little bit, which was, it was good. But at the same time, I bloody hate running in Gold Coast. I don't know, I could never live up there. That little path, and I know there's other places to run, but that path just drives me bloody bonkers. I just hate everything about it. You got all these little kids whizzing around on motorized scooters flat out, and it's just not a nice place to run. So, but yeah, that
little
was...
dogs. They love their little dogs up there too, like real Instagram dogs.
Yeah, you've got to be a different cat to live on the Gold Coast. Like, I just don't know how you could do it. Like there's some strange units up there, and they're strange. But there was a lot of different emotions, but it hit me pretty hard, to be honest. Like it was,
yeah, well, as it just, should have, you know what I mean? Like it's,
yeah,
I'd be different, yeah, if you got in here and said, oh, it's all good, you know, I coach people that also had the same disappointment. But I think it's different for elite athletes than it is the general punter, and it's definitely different for the 5 and the 10 and the half marathoners, because yeah, really, I could race, you know, another one next week or the weekend after or whatever. Like, it doesn't really impact my training too much.
Mm, yeah, no, and I've learned, like, I don't know, marathon training isn't sustainable, which, like, I didn't know that. I would have guessed that, but I didn't know that for real. Like, 10 weeks ago kind of thing. I've had a lot of people a few people I coach that they were to do the marathon, and they've kind of reached out and they've just been like, yeah, it's bloody rough. Cause I suppose they kind of see, the amount of effort, time and all that kind of stuff. And you make a lot of sacrifices during running, but also you make a lot more when you're when you're training for a marathon. But it's I don't know, there is a silver lining of that. I now have one build in the legs, and it's I think I'll be a lot more, although I didn't get to execute on race day, like I have a better understanding of what works for me, what training I can handle, what it feels like, what I should feel like, and all that kind of stuff. So it's not the end of the world, but it was pretty disappointing. And I think to be like up on the Gold Coast by myself as well, that kind of made it a little bit tougher, and just in a like an apartment by myself kind of thing, would have been a lot better to have some people around. And then like I was just super stoked for like the Sunday afternoon, like just having some beers, just kind of really kicking back and just, I don't know, doing something I haven't done for the last 6 months because I've been prepping for this marathon. So that was a bit of a bummer. And we're going to have a really good crew that were coming up from Bendigo that we're going to run. So I was really pumped for that. But hopefully next year.
Yeah, hopefully. Just didn't happen in the end. And it's annoying when you do everything you can control and it still, yeah, it doesn't happen. But anyway, as you said, good. And that's what I said to you the next day as well. Like, it's one thing to complete a marathon block, another thing to complete the marathon. And some people don't do, either of those things. So it's good that you got 50% of it done, I suppose, which is, probably more than 50%. It's probably 85%. Some people say the marathon block's harder than the actual marathon. I know Moose always says that, like, marathon's just about getting it done then.
I'd agree with that. And it's just one thing that I've been really cautious over the last week is just being like, yeah, I didn't get the race, but I've still done a lot of training. I need to kind of respect that. I need to give my body some downtime, which I was kind of forced into, which probably wasn't such a bad thing. So
did the conversation come up to like, hey, let's look at something in 3 or 4 weeks' time, or like, because I know a lot of people straight away, they go, okay, I can't do that. So like, not a lot of people, I'd say it's nearly 50-50. And a lot of the guys I work with, it's like, the communication's there, and 50% of them might be like, okay, didn't get the opportunity, but I want to have a rest and want to get ready. And the other 50%, it's like, okay, lock it in Melbourne, enter in tonight. How do we make this work? And it's just like, okay, like there's two different ways to go from here.
I got a call from Scotty probably an hour after I kind of found out. And he just kind of said, don't worry, I'm not going to give you a hard 30k time trial tomorrow or something like that. And I was just like, I don't want to do that. And I suppose some people can get up for time trials, and I think like I'm amazed by those people. Like I had a few people I coached, I know you did too, that went out and did a half marathon, or some people did a marathon, and it's just like, I don't know, I know that I wouldn't be able to get anywhere near a PB or anything like that, so I couldn't get up for a time trial. But he was very quick just to be like, let's just take some downtime. Let's kind of absorb this good training. And he actually messaged me yesterday and he said, oh, let me know when you feel like you're ready for the chat of what's next. And I just kind of told him I don't feel ready at the moment, just because it was such a, I feel like it was just such a big mental build up for me. Like it was going from Bendigo up to Newcastle, and then kind of having the same thing where I had to leave Newcastle to get to Gold Coast. It's kind of really nice where a lot of people have asked me, oh, what's next? And I actually don't know. Yeah, and it's quite nice saying, good. I don't know what's next. And it's nice not being like I loved having Gold Coast as a goal to like strive towards. And when you wake up and it's raining outside, you don't want to go. That's what you think about. And I loved having that. But at the moment, it's really nice not having that and just being like, just kind of whatever, just go along with the flow. If you want to have a fair few beers on a Saturday night, you can. If you want to eat a heap of donuts on a Sunday, you can. If you want to do a few things that you normally wouldn't, you can do that, because you're not like, I've got to get ready for Melbourne Marathon in 11 weeks or however long it is. So I actually have no idea what's next, and I actually haven't really even thought about it, which is quite nice. I was pretty pumped for an AV race this weekend, but I don't know if I'm that pumped for that anymore since they've changed things around a little bit. But I'm sure we'll chat about that in a little bit. So it's I'm just enjoying my running at the moment. Like I did did a session this morning, didn't even look at my watch during the session, and I actually haven't even looked at what splits I hit. I'm just enjoying just kind of chilling out and not being too stressed on about anything at the moment, which is good.
That's the way to do it. Like, you can't just keep throwing stress at the body. Like, all the mental stress of you getting up there, that would have had a massive impact, and the stress of the marathon build-up towards the end of it, and then the stress of, like, the cancellations, getting home. And being solo, as you said, like, it's probably not a good thing to be alone when you kind of get that kind of news and then have to, you know, get on a flight and wait 3 hours for a COVID test and all the things that you kind of had to do when you got home.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a good thing at all. And I think, like, having breaks, people undervalue the importance of having breaks. I'm doing the same at the moment. I'm calling it a Yeezy week, where I just go easy and just listen to Yeezy the whole week. I've been doing
Does
it
that mean two. Is there going to be a different album cover for each run?
Yeah, apart from I couldn't go for a run this morning because I'm in isolation. So it's really stuffed up my second day of Yeezy, my Yeezy
That's
week.
Right. What's your favorite album?
I've just got on shuffle. Like, this is Kanye West shuffle. And then Hey Mama was my song of the run yesterday, but I didn't
That's
get one
great.
This morning. So I'm hoping my COVID test result comes back tomorrow so I can get a couple of, Kanye West songs in, because I think it's important, because I'm looking at it like we've been getting out of the car, same thing, pissing down rain, cold, and you say, hey, we've got three more of these to do until we can have a break, or three more of these to do until it's a race week. Like, let's keep our heads down, let's keep doing it, and then we get to race, and then we get to have, you know, a week or 7 days off, or sorry, 10 days off. But then you need to switch it on for another 12 or 14 weeks, building into like Melbourne or Sydney or whatever it is. So if you don't have this time off now, you're going to get 6 or 7 weeks into this next build up and be hating life.
Yeah, and I fully agree. And I think it's partially physical, but I think more so, well, for me personally, I think it's more so mentally. Like, and it's probably one thing that 5 years ago I didn't really fully understand. And it's like, just being, because if you're trying to be on the whole time, it's really hard. And it's kind of, it's sometimes good to go, like, it's better to go backwards before you go forwards kind of thing. And like, I know you were thinking kind of the same, where you're just going to have a bit of a down week. And this was even before the race was cancelled. We were going to have a bit of a down week and not lose fitness, but just kind of go back just so therefore you can continue to go up kind of thing. Because it's not sustainable to continuously just be trending upwards.
Yeah, I was saying to Archie the other day, like, I was trying to explain to him that it's like a set of stairs. And like, for us at race week, we're at the very top step because we've done all the training, we've freshened up, we're probably the fittest we've both ever been. We had a good 10K race 2.5-3 weeks ago. Like, you're in probably the shape of your life on that top step. But if you then keep trying to train through that because the race doesn't happen, you end up falling off the step and down the other side. Whereas it's better just to take 2 steps back, maybe get to that 85% fitness, and then you can build to your 90, 95, and you can actually go further up, you know, make the staircase a bit bigger before you fall off the edge.
Yeah, exactly. And how many professional athletes across any sport train for 12 months of the year?
Exactly, yeah.
None.
Exactly.
No one does.
And sometimes I think because you're not professional, you think you got to do the same thing week in, week out, all year. Whereas if you're in one of those professional groups, they say, hey, come back in 2 weeks' time. Don't worry about how many kilos you put on or how much fitness you lose, like, because then you go into like a, you know, a phase of building fitness back up again. And it always comes back to them super quick.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And you think about how much extra stress and all that the non-professional athletes have because they're working, they've got like families that probably get half as much sleep, all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of like it's a no-brainer, but it's often the hardest thing. I think that it's so hard to pull back and go, hey, I need a bit of a downtime. And it's funny, I think we are really good at doing the hard stuff, but really bad at doing the easy stuff. Like, and the easy stuff is the rest stuff, like just chill out, don't stress too much, and just enjoy your running for a little bit. So it's, I'm pretty content at the moment. I was pretty disappointed for a while there, and especially, so I decided to get out of Gold Coast. So I think this all happened on the Tuesday afternoon, I'm pretty sure, the cancellation.
Yeah, it
and
did.
Then.
Yep.
And then, so I straight away kind of booked some flights home to Bendigo and to Melbourne, then to Bendigo. And I was like, yep, it's all good. Gold Coast is still a green zone. So I was like, that's fine. I'll be able to just come straight back. I'll be able to get home, kind of business as normal. And then I woke up pretty early on the Wednesday morning. Had a message from Qantas saying my flight was cancelled. And I was like, that's a bit strange. Wonder why it's cancelled. And then looked on the Vic Department of Health website, and they changed Gold Coast to a red zone. So that put that was probably at the time that was a bigger spanner in the works kind of thing for me, because it was like, shit, I'm at the Gold Coast by myself, was prepping for this race, the race has been cancelled, now I'm stuck up here, I don't know if I can get back, I don't know what I need to do kind of thing, can I even get back? And I looked into it, and so I had to, because it was a red zone, I had to self-isolate for 14 days, but now they've changed it to an orange zone, which is how you've managed to come back, which means I'm now free to be in the population, and had, I think it was 5 days in self-isolation, which was, it wasn't a fun time, but looking back, it meant I had 5 full days off running, which was probably a blessing in disguise, just fully not even having an option to run. Like, I had people messaging me saying, oh, do you want me to bring a treadmill over? And I was like, no, I couldn't think of anything worse right now. So that's kind of what happened there. So I'm not going to lie, it was a pretty shit week. Just kind of being in self-isolation for kind of 5 days after what I thought was going to be like a big marathon for me kind of thing. It was the highest of highs kind of down to the lowest of lows, but I don't know if that's the lowest I'm gonna be, it's not the end of the world kind of thing. So
it's all up from here, I reckon. All that COVID stuff just chucked an extra stress in it as well, and you're like, I thought I was in the good part of Australia, like, what, Victoria's not letting me back in, are you kidding? No one's wanted to go to Victoria for the last 12 months.
I felt like it was chasing me around the country. I got out of Victoria 2 weeks ago and then went to Newcastle, and then all of a sudden Sydney started getting cases. So then I went from Newcastle to Queensland, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? It just, every time I got somewhere new, I was like, all right, sweet, I can not worry about that. And then it just started creeping in, and I found myself watching more of the news or more of the press conferences, and I'm like, oh, I need to get away from this. And it just, I don't know, I couldn't get away from it. But yeah, I don't know. Hopefully,
complicated world we're living in at the moment.
It is. Do you want me to chat about my week?
Well, I've got some questions for it though. No, like the week leading into the marathon. Tell me about, like, you guys kept the K's pretty high. I think it was still 100 mile a week out, and like a 30K long run.
So that long run, that was I was, to be honest, a little bit surprised about that, but I have full trust in Scotty and everything he does. And I think with me, I was used to doing, I literally did 2.5 hours at least for probably 3-4 months, I reckon, in the build-up. So that 30K, I felt, and like, you know what the long run is like here in Bendigo.
Yeah.
And then you go to Gold Coast and you finish it and you're like, I feel like I've done nothing, because it's quite hilly here in Bendigo. So the purpose of that was, he wanted me to check out the course and see especially the southern part. So that's why I ran that. I felt pretty good. I was a tiny bit surprised when he first said, oh yeah, let's do this. But during it, I was enjoying it and I felt fine afterwards. Like, I'm kind of used to working all week and then kind of training over the weekend and feeling pretty tired, whereas I was full-time athlete mode up there. So 30K, ran 4:06s. Just, I don't know, you know what it's like, it's easy to get rolling along that path there, even though I hate it. But that was good. And then did 2x4K on the Saturday, I think that's Saturday, which was good fun.
It's a big weekend though, like 2x4K on the Saturday and then 30K on the Sunday.
Yep, yeah, definitely. We probably took, because I did that race, which was the weekend before this long run. So we took the next start of the week really light and really easy and just kind of cruised along that session. So I kind of felt like I needed that 2x4K and I felt really good in that, which was perfect. And so yeah, it was a big-ish weekend, but I was feeling pretty good and I pulled up pretty well from that Sunday. But I know a few people will probably looked at that and thought, oh geez, that's a fair bit. But I think it's kind of all relative, and when you get so used to running 2.5 hours on a Sunday, pulling back you actually feel kind of good. And you saw what my week was meant to be in the lead up there, yeah. Where it was literally, yeah. I think I was going to run 60 or 70K kind of thing. So yeah, I think that's why there was a bit of extra there.
But how'd yeah, you no go real... doing those 4K reps out at the spit there past SeaWorld?
Yeah, I really liked it, actually. It was really good. Not yes and no. There was only one little sketchy spot where the cars park on the road.
Yeah.
And you've kind of got it's really thin there. But other than that, there's actually that really good bike lane kind of next to the road. So that was good.
Do you mean like that footpathy thing?
Nah, sorry, like the bike.
Just the bike lane on the side of the road.
Bike lane, yeah. So other than where those cars park, I found it really good. And then obviously the part where you're actually running next to the water, like literally no cars. Did you get along park. There?
Yeah. And then we spat out you know, you can go in there two ways. We kind of go the top entrance and then come. We didn't go all the way down to where you, because did you just stop down there? You wouldn't be able to do a U-turn there, would you?
Nah, that was literally, I looked on Strava the night before to see where I had to start to make sure I could finish at the end. But I actually really liked it there. I would definitely train there. That was out of the whole week I was there, that was the only good thing about my running in Gold Coast, was doing a session there. I really liked it. I think you'd have to go, I went at 7:30. And it wasn't too bad, but I reckon the earlier you go, probably the less cars. Well, you went super early, didn't you?
I went twice.
A few days later?
I went at like 5:45 a.m. for warm-up, so we're probably on there about like 6:15, and that was okay. But I think because we're so used to being on the road and having very little traffic in Moama.
Yeah.
So we're I did like 3x5K there for the second time, and I was just pissing down rain the whole time and like puddles and trying to, I couldn't enjoy it because I had to think about too much other stuff. It's like, where's the cars? Car back, car coming, go wide around this puddle, don't step on the other guy. Like it was, super complicated. Yeah. I just like concentrating on this is just running. Let's just do what we've got to do.
Yeah. See, I'm probably a little bit different. Like I'm used to doing like a fair bit of training at the lake, which is where there's a bit of foot traffic, which I actually like because it kind of takes my mind off like how far I am into the rep or how many reps I've got to go, because you're kind of thinking about something else for that split second. But no, I really liked this session, and I was I was moving pretty well, and I knew it was going to be the last hard session, I suppose, before the marathon the week after. And I really liked that spot. I think that'd be a go-to there.
Did you drive a car out there or just hide your shoes in like a...
Nah, so I took up so many shoes. Like I felt like half my luggage was shoes. So I took up some Invincibles, which you need them on the Gold Coast. I took up some 1080s, which is my normal training shoes. I took up a brand new pair of Alpha Flies, and I also took up my training pair of Next Percents that have done a shitload of Ks. So I just jogged out there in my Next Percents because I was just like, I don't really like. Yeah, I'm putting 8K on these. They've already done 300. Doesn't really matter. So I just warmed up in my shoes, did the session, cooled down. That's probably what I'd do again. I didn't really want to hide the shoes in the bushes or anything, or carry any shoes out. So, yeah, I just did the warm-up and cool down in my flats.
Yep, that's good to know. Little trick there for people. And you went pretty quick. You ran the first 4K in 12:15, which is 3:04 pace, and then the second 4K in 11:30, which is 2:52 pace. Was like that the instructions?
Yeah. So instructions were just kind of hit that first one at kind of pretty close to kind of thresholdy kind of pace. Just a little bit slower than kind of half marathon pace. So that's kind of, I was thinking before, because I always like, I don't know, with sessions, I always think, oh, if I can hit this, I'll be happy. And I was kind of thinking 305 for the first one, I'll be like, yep, I'll be happy with that. And then probably 250 to 255 between that for the second one. So that's what I was aiming for. And yeah, I hit pretty much that bang on. I felt good. I'd had a pretty easy week the week before, so I think that was part of it. And I think just training in a new spot, like it's different stimulus, you kind of run the long and knowing it was going to be the last hard workout, like probably the last minute of that second 4K was like I was working and I was looking for the finishing line, but just in your head you're just like, hey, this is the last bit of hard running, like yeah. Yeah, this is the haze in the barn kind of thing. So it was yeah, it was pretty good. But Scotty was happy with that. He thought that I hit it pretty much bang on. So yeah, and I felt, because I'd had that lighter week leading into that, I felt like I needed to do something a little bit hard, but nothing too hard where it dragged on for too long. Yeah. And I think the other thing is these last 2 weeks, well, the weeks I was up there, like it's so different going from working essentially full time to not working full time and having all the time in the world to train. You're not getting up super early, you're not doing a heap of housework, you're not doing all these extra little things. And I think that just plays a massive part in recovery and all that kind of stuff. So you can kind of do the same amount of training but recover from all of it, whereas probably in my day-to-day life, I'm not recovering from all the training I'm doing. So yeah, and you'd know what that's like when you're at home. You just, for sure, you get stuck doing so much more, whereas you go on holidays and you're like, man, this running capers, it's easy kind of thing.
Yeah, just don't take your like nearly 2-year-old with you. That'd be my only advice. Sometimes you're like, is this a holiday looking after this toddler? Like, I don't know if this is a good trip. Anyway, let's now talk about then, because this could be a blessing in disguise for the Bendigo Bats, because you were going to run this marathon, be out for a few rounds. But potentially, I don't know what your plans are, but potentially there's going to be a few more appearances for Andy Buchanan for the Bendigo Bats in the Athletics Victoria season. There are 3 races in the next 4 weeks in July. So we'll have round 3, 4, and 5 coming up. Some changes they've deleted around, haven't they? They've taken out Sandown Relays. So it's going to be a nine season calendar now, not 10 race season. So that's interesting. And they moved the cross country 12K race from a few weeks ago to this weekend, which is the same weekend that Sandown's meant to be. And then they ditched that event, which was a good one. One of the favourite ones on the calendar. I'm really disappointed they got rid of the 6.2K relay race on the road. It was super fast. Really good team vibes for that one. And disappointing. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an iconic race. Like you talk to the older guys that have been running AV for years, and they'll talk about Sandown and they'll ask you what time you ran, and it's kind of like a bit of a measuring stick, I suppose. Although heaps of people these days will complain it's all the shoes or something like that. But Sandown's, it's super unique, and I love the relays components of the AV circuit. I think it creates such a different vibe, and it's really helps build that team culture, and I think everyone agrees with that. So it was, I don't know, I was at the time, I wasn't really thinking about it too much because I wasn't going to do any of those races. I was maybe going to do Bundoora, but I just really wasn't too sure. So it is disappointing. I know I would much rather be doing Sandown this weekend than say Cruden Farm, as much as I love Cruden Farm. It's a great cross country course, but Sandown's just that little bit different. And, I know. I feel like we've already had a few cross country races, so I'd love to be doing something on the road. But it's going to be a very busy month for the Bats, and I think it is a bit of a blessing in disguise, because we weren't concerned, but we were definitely making sure a few of our our second tier runners were ready to roll, and they were, and they were really keen to be running and helping out that Div 2 team. But yeah, we're going to have, I don't know, we're going to have a pretty good team this weekend. I'm pretty excited to see how we go. Well, at least I was pretty excited, but yeah, AV have released these few little changes, which will, in my mind, ruin the race. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, completely. So Athletes Victoria has released some details, and we're recording this on a Tuesday, so hopefully things change between now and the race on Saturday. But they are capping they're starting people in waves for the race. I think Lardner Park had about 350 people in the 8K race across the open age groups and the over age groups. There were some different age groups, I know, in the over 50s or 60s that had a different option to run a shorter distance, but think 350, that kind of gives you some context. Instead, for this round, they are putting us in waves of 50 people to run a 12K cross-country course. And Andy, if you heard the news maybe that they're going to put you in waves of 50 people, how do you think they'd organise those waves of 50 people? What would be your thinking about that?
I would have thought that they would look back and see, well, one, see who's entered,
yep,
and then try and seed it somehow. So if you finished, when they get all the entries, and then they'll just seed those entries. So it's like, yep, the top fastest 50, that'd be in wave one, and then the next in wave two, wave three, wave four. That is what I would have thought they'd do, and that's what I was hoping they'd do.
And you've got two race, cross-country races that have already been. So you look at the results from Jales Park, Lardner Park, and you just say, hey, 50, or at least you go 30th or 35th fastest, and then you use some discretion for the other 15 or 20 spots. But yeah, that's what I thought they would have done. Maybe their second option would have been, let's run it as a bit of a team time trial thing. So each club can nominate 10 athletes, where your top six score, and then you have five clubs go at a time. So it could have been five Division One teams go off the line with their top 10 in the first wave, and then, you know, the next five Division One teams in the second wave, and then you start with the Division Two teams and things like that. I thought that would have made things interesting. So you kind of run as a team, and then you're getting your chip times to see where you're going to finish up overall. But instead, they've decided to go with registration numbers. So when you register at the start of the year, you get a bib, and that's the bib you use for the whole season. I think my bib number is 1,450. So I will be in the same wave as people around my bib type. They could be 5 minutes faster, could be 25 minutes slower, but we'll be all towing off the line at the same time, which I think is really lazy and not efficient at all. And you've got all these people, or it's efficient, sorry. It's super efficient. That's what they want. They don't want to put any extra time into like seeding the fields. And I think they've got this massive opportunity that everyone wants to race, because a lot of people just had their races cancelled at the Gold Coast. And let them race. Let them have a crack at each other. I don't want to be going off the line with people I've got no chance of beating if they're too fast for me, or people that are too slow for me. I want to take some necks.
It's bloody frustrating. Like, I know I was, when I was in isolation and I was not sure if they were going to change the zones, I was not thinking about this race because I was like, don't want to get my hopes up. But as soon as I found out Saturday night at like 9 o'clock, they changed the zones, and I was like, there was two things I was excited about. I was like, awesome, I can go and do the Sunday long run, and I can race next weekend at Cruden. Like, because I was just so keen to get out there and race. And for me, this is just like, it's like a time trial. Like, it's like, why are we driving 2 hours, 2.5 hours to go to a time trial? Like, I think it's just...
But a 12K cross-country time trial as well? Yeah. Like, it'd be different if it was maybe like Sandown. It's like, all right, who can punch the fastest two laps of the day you're going to go off? Like, that would be different because it's over in like 18 minutes. But we're going to be out there time trialing for like 40. And the thing, and people probably sitting there going, oh, yeah, but it's COVID restrictions, you've got to do the right thing. Parkrun in Melbourne, like Albert Park Parkrun, this past weekend, had 256 finishes. So this seems like it's an AV decision, not a government decision. Like, I did see some stuff written that they've only got Tier 3 approval, whereas Parkrun might have a higher approval than that because their planning for the events is better to provide a safer environment. So I really hope it's not that case. Like, you pay your regos, you pay your entries, which are pretty expensive, and then to think that the governing body hasn't filled out the, I don't know, the permit submissions or the health submissions or whatever they are to get the tier so it can actually run normally would be, pretty disappointing.
And you go down there to race. Yeah. Like, that is what everyone toes the line for, and that is what has made AV so successful, is because they had a good product, and they had a really, because of that good product, they got good numbers, and then those numbers continue to support that good product. And yeah, AV do a great job, but they probably don't, like, there's not, it's the people that support it that make it so good and that make these divisions work and all that kind of stuff. And I just feel like AV at the moment are just going backwards, and they're not making the product better, and it's actually, they're making it worse. And it's kind of like, they should be happy to spend the extra time to get these planning permits done, or they should be happy to spend the time.
If that's what the case is. Like,
if that's what it is.
That's speculation,
Yeah, or they should be happy to go, okay, let's look to actually seed this so we can look after our runners. Because I know there's probably people that might have, like, you know, when entries open and you can get on at midnight and get a low number. So there's probably going to be people that have a low number that are mixed in.
What's your number?
Really,
what's your regio number? We should explain that. So in the past, they've given the low numbers to the people that, like, represent Australia at the Olympics. So I think Jared Clifford's number one. Is he? I don't know. Like, Lyndon Hall be number two, Stewie be number three. You know, Brett Robinson might be number four. And it goes like that to, like, the top 20. But then I think maybe after 50 or 100, it probably jumps then straight to 1,000. And it depends on how quick you fill your registration form out to what your registration number is. So we were looking up ours today, and I was like, I'm 1450 or something, but Archie's 1560. So I'm like, oh, our numbers aren't close enough. Well, potentially, because you're never sure if the people in between you are going to rock up. So maybe we would be in the same wave, and it could work out all right. But it's just, yeah, it's weird. It's a weird move. And it seems real. This is what concerns me, that it seems really participation-based, not performance-based. It feels like it's like, hey, we'll put on this track. You can come run around it. I don't know how. I guess they're going to work out points. Like, wherever your finishing time ranks you, that's how many points you get for your team on the day. I feel sorry for the person that wins it, which could potentially be you. Like, you want to win a race. Yeah. You don't want to sit in the car 3 hours later and go, oh, I got the fastest time for the day, but I didn't have the opportunity to beat people in the last 2K or 3K or make them hurt or anything like that. And cross-country is not about time trialing. It's about racing. No one ever looks at their watch during a cross-country race.
Yeah.
Can you tell I'm annoyed?
Yeah. What's your bib number? I've just looked up mine. So I'm
1450.
Or I'm 1238. So.
Oh, you'll be off with the 1-2s. I'll be off with the 1-4s. But isn't this ridiculous? All these people are traveling 3 hours to get there. Maybe put all us in the same wave so then we can travel home together. Imagine if someone, like, I'm thinking, if I've got to start half an hour before Archie and then Archie starts half an hour after me and then Nathan, who comes in the car, just starts 40 minutes after that. It's like, shit, you're just drawing out our afternoon just because you couldn't put us. So there's two things here. So the first thing is, A, why is Parkrun allowed to have 250 and AV's only allowed to have 50?
Like, especially,
that's a big concern.
Especially when AV's job is to provide running opportunities for people in Victoria. Like, they're aligned with the government. Like, that's their job compared to Park. Like, I just don't understand it.
Neither do I. Yeah. And, like, you're thinking about 5K, like, 250 people around a 5K loop at Albert Park is a lot different than, imagine if they just, even if they said 150 and did two waves of 150 around a 12K course in a farmland, like, yeah, that makes absolute no sense. So that's the first thing that they've got to sort out. And the second thing is, like, okay, if you do need to have 50 people waves, do it a bit more, professional and kind of let people have races. You can still pull this off if you put some time and effort into it. Shit, I'm in isolation. Send me the spreadsheet of entries. I'll put them in for you if you want. Yeah, actually, I've got to write heaps of programs this week.
The thing is, like, they're just going to, you and me, like, we have a max package, which is mean we pay a premium at the start of the year and we are entered into every single event. So we don't actually complete any entries for each event. We are automatically entered into every event. And I'm pretty sure most people that run XCR do that. Like, you have a look at the entry page when it goes up, and there will be 1,000 names on there, and only 400 of those people are going to run. So what are they going to do with these waves? Because they're going to make these waves off bib numbers.
Off 50, but then you rock up, there might only be 10 of you guys sitting there.
Yeah.
They almost need to send out to all the clubs now, like, just write down your top 10. Send us your top 10, send us your second 10, send us your third 10. It's Tuesday. Yeah. And, but people do this for their jobs.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's people working right now in AV, and it's like, what are they doing? Why aren't they doing this? Like, it's frustrating. And I feel like the community, the running community in AV is so good, because when you go to an AV race, you don't have to push to get to the front, because people just self-seed because they're runners and they understand what it's like.
Yeah, and I feel like if you races out there.
If you sent out an email, if AV, sorry, sent out an email and said, do you want to be in wave 1, wave 2, wave 3, or wave 4, I feel like those waves would actually be really, like, I feel like people would want to go in the wave where they should be, and that would actually work really smoothly. Yeah, AV might have to sort maybe 5 people in each thing that are like, oh, hang on, you're actually wave 4 rather than wave 3, or vice versa. But I feel like the AV community would happily do that.
Yeah.
And they'd rather do that and have a good race against, because it's not just the guys fighting for it up the front. There's so many guys that are finishing 100th or 200th, and they're like, oh yeah, I was racing this bloke 2 weeks ago, I can't wait to race him, because you're kind of racing the same people in the same course. Like, it's just super frustrating.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
But anyway, we'll send a team of the Bats. We could be all in different ways, not sure what's going on. But the team is looking strong. You'll be there, Archie will be there, Nathan Stoat will be there, I'll be there. A few changes after that, though. The two twins are going to run in their age group, so they're not starting in waves, so they'll have a good day, the two twins.
Well, this is another thing. So under 20 men are running 6K.
Yeah.
Under 18 men are running 8K.
Yeah, but that balances out throughout the season, though, doesn't it? Like, yeah, won't there be the next one they'll do 8 and the kids will do 6, just so they race different distances throughout the season?
Yeah.
I think so.
They are running in their age group, so that's good for them. They were just we just weren't too sure about 12K. Like, 12K cross is like it's like a 15K road race.
Yeah.
And they're still young, so we've just got to look after our junior bats.
Yeah, so we've got the four big names to come in, though, here. This is the thing. Replacing class with class. Do you want to tell us who can potentially make up the other two spots? We've probably got 4 or 5 guys who can grab some spots here.
Yeah, so this is the thing. This is with this race, it's just purely the first 6 across the line. So we're not choosing our team, it's just the first 6. So we don't really know, but we've got the big signing, the most popular runner in Bendigo.
In Australia, the, you put it down to.
Australia, yeah, sorry. The legend, the myth himself, the Beast, Jamie Cook.
Everyone knows him as the Beast.
The Beast. So he's making his Bats debut. He is as eager as I've ever seen him. He's been hassling me about getting a singlet because he's so keen to represent the Bats. He's very, very excited. So he's coming in.
I'll just read out some of his PBs if the listeners aren't familiar here. I've just got him open. 2:23 for the marathon, 69 for the half. That can't be right. I reckon he's gone quicker than 69. 30.08 for 10K, 14:17 for 5K. So really class there, quality athlete.
And he was ready to roll at Gold Coast Marathon. So we've got a lot of blokes coming into this race with a bit of not a chip on the shoulder, just a bit of extra motivation, I suppose, because me and the Beast, we're going to do the marathon. Yourself and Archie, we're going to do the half. Matt and Ned, they were going to do the 10. So even though they're doing the junior 8s there, everyone's like peaked, tapered, ready to roll. So we are we're going
to
be
Stoat have a bit of a hit out the other week because he didn't come to Launceston, so we just rolled him around Shepparton Athletics track just for a bit of a hit out, and he rolled a 14:33, so that shows he's in shape as well. That was after a 2-hour long run on the Sunday, and then 85 minutes on the Monday, and then straight to 14:33.
I think we need to start calling him the junior beast.
The junior beast.
he does some impressive Ks up there and just gets it done.
He's changed it. We've altered it a bit, though. You notice that? Like, he nails his workouts, but we're just being slowing him down on easy days. But, geez, he knows how to hit a workout.
That's good. That's good. But, yeah, our last spot, it's going to be, I reckon it's going to be pretty close between Nigel Preston and Steve Van Rees. So those boys are going to be running hard. That's going to be their first.
Chuck Glenn McMillan in there as well. He was ready to go for Gold Coast half. He was trained towards that. Missed Lonnie. Yep. He was probably going to run a PB at Lonnie 10. So yeah, that's all of a sudden it's like eight guys trying to go for six spots.
Yeah, it's going to make everyone run real hard. So we're coming for you, Western A's, St. Stephen's, whoever else is in Div 1. I don't know, we're kind of better than all the other Div 1 teams other than those two teams, so we don't really care about them.
Throw some lip at Glenn Huntley as well, I reckon.
Yeah, no, we don't worry about them. They're not competition anymore.
They're worrying about us. It would be good to win one outright. We've been second and second outright for the first two rounds.
Yeah, so I reckon this will be our round.
Yeah, if it was a race, though, like, imagine having this conversation if we knew we were going down there and actually towing the line against these fellas.
Mm.
Not being in separate waves and stuff. You know what I started doing today? Looking up people's AV numbers. I was, like, looking through Instagram photos. I'm like, oh, yeah, what number's he? It's just a pain in the ass. You shouldn't have to do that on race week.
It's just going to be funny getting onto the line and looking around, and it's going to remind me of, like, fun runs back in the day and looking around and looking at people and looking at their shoes. Do you remember doing that? And being like, oh shit, he's
what
got flats on.
Gender, like girls, we have races, women in your waves and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Because the numbers aren't gender based.
No, they're just.
You could rock up and be the only guy out of 50. You could just have 49 ladies next year. You know what we should do? Real team tactics, like say most of us are in like wave three, and then there's like one or two of us in wave four, and there's some good runners in there. Just take it out super slow. Just keep going to the front, slowing the pack down. Sacrifice your own race because you know they're fanging in the other one.
That's real Tour de France style.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know, for me, like you're just going to get on that line. You're going to be like, shit, am I going to have anyone to run with? And then you're going to be thinking, what are the waves in front or behind doing? Like,
because they're starting every 5 minutes or something, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
There'd be the same amount of people on course if they started them all together.
Yeah. I honestly don't know if AV have thought about this. it's just so frustrating. So, and then the worrying thing is we've got State Cross the weekend after. So we've got Bundoora 10, which is like super iconic, really good, fun course, really nice, tough cross country. And it's like, does this mean it's going to be the same? Like, is this the new norm?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
surely not. That's a state. Well, these are, like, you win medals to win these races as well, I guess. You can't. Oh, yeah, complicated. As I said, I get it if parkrun's going off in 50 people waves. I get it if this was like every sport's doing it. But if there's thousands of people at the footy and there's 300 people at parkrun, this shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I was just grateful when Gold Coast got cancelled that I was going to have a race to do. But after seeing parkrun going ahead, business as normal, it's kind of like, well, why can't AV? It's, yeah.
Oh, nah, they've split them. Nah, women are split. So they start the men's 40+, wave one, wave two, men's 50, wave one, wave two, men's 60 are all together, women's 50 are all together, women's 40 are all together. And then women's open wave one, wave two, but then the men's but then the men's wave, there's up to five options.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So really, the women's but why? Imagine if the women's two waves, you have like Karina Fife in one, and then you have Gemma Maney in the other one. You're like, that's just stupid. Just because their bib numbers could be potentially different if they're going to come, you know, both top five overall.
Yeah, it's the more I think about it, the more I'm getting worked up. I think I'm nearly as worked up as you are.
Yeah. Nearly. I just want to see the sport do its best. And I think this is a big problem that if we can't deliver events to our best capabilities, people don't want to go to them and don't support them and then don't talk about them or promo them, and that's how the sport grows.
Yeah, 100%. I've got two guys that were meant to do in Gold Coast Marathon, and obviously didn't go ahead, and they're now keen to do Melbourne, and I was like, hey, sign up for AV, join the Bats, and do Ballarat 15K, Lakeside 10, Burnley Heart. Like, these are awesome events. Like, I'm saying, hey, do this because you will love it. You'll get in there. You'll compete against the same people. You'll, like, it'll be nothing like you've ever done before. Like, pumping up AV, being like, hey, this is awesome. You should do it. And then this comes out and you're kind of like, really? Like, this is such a good opportunity to get so many of those, because there's so many runners out there that do these marathons that are, like, they put in a lot of time every week, they train really hard, and they don't run AV. And it's like, this is a perfect opportunity for AV to grab a lot of those runners. And it's just like, this is the first thing. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, need to put you and Michael Kernahan in charge of Athletes with Tora, I reckon.
Yeah, Sticks, he's not happy. I saw his, and I agree with his comments on Strava. That's his place where he voices his opinion, I think. That's his...
Is this the captain of the Mento Mavericks, by the way? Michael Sticks Kernahan. Yeah.
Oh, now I've got some goss. Got some goss on the Mavericks. They won't be happy if they hear this, but I'm hearing a few whispers that there could be someone who runs for the Mavericks that is keen on joining the Bats.
Really? Team transfer?
Yep.
This is where we need to get to, isn't it? Like, you just need to be like interstate recruits, people jumping teams because they want to be a part of different cultures. Then you start bringing some money into it. You know, you land a big sponsor and it's like, all right, everyone in the Bats is on $100 a year. We're paying for petrol, stuff like that. Start small. Then, you know, 5 year time, someone signs their first $1 million contract to run for a certain team. This is where I think, I said to Moose and Croaks today, I'm like, you know what? We should start our own league, the inside running cross country and road racing league or something.
Imagine
if you got, but if you just went like you create a new team, so maybe you keep Bendigo Bats and like Glenn Huntley and stuff like that, but you bring in like Surf Coast Track Club, you bring in like, I don't know.
Does that mean Moose would actually do a race, or because I feel like he never races?
Always injured.
But I'll tell you what was one of the most disappointing things about the whole last 2 weeks was that with this lockdown up in Gold Coast, it obviously meant tattoo parlors weren't open.
We saw one at Broadbeach. I walked straight past one. The first day I got there, I got an Uber straight to the supermarket, walked past a tattoo parlour, and I thought, that's where we're going Sunday night. That is where we'll be. And then, obviously disappointed.
We couldn't get the bat logo on us, which is, I know there was a lot of people, especially those young whippersnappers like Archie, Matt, Ned, all that. They were really keen. We were probably going to take a bit more convincing, but we're still going to get it done. So,
we're gonna wait for the season now.
Disappointing we couldn't get the, what were we going to get? Bat logo, then Div 2 Premiers. That's what we're going to get underneath, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, something like that.
Disappointing.
Anyway, let's wrap it up there. It's going to be a big week in bat territory, though, with three of the next 4 weeks having races. Should set up our season perfectly, actually. You know, two races in, another three solid races. That's 5 from 9. That's going to set us up nicely. Still need some road races, though. Like, what, we don't hit road until round 5.
Yeah, Ballarat, it'll be interesting. Do you reckon they can get a team in their home race? I don't know if they can.
Yeah, they might struggle. They have to pull out Montaghetti. I think he's fit again.
Watch this space. He'll be rallying the troops.
All right, good debrief. Right. Thanks for being honest about all the Gold Coast feelings and stuff, and we'll do it all again. Cheers, maybe do a quick show next week after we dominate this weekend down in Melbourne.
Yeah, we'll do a victory podcast that we don't know if we won or not because it hasn't been a race.
Time trial victory. All right, Eddie.
Yeah, exactly.
Catch up.
All right. Cheers. Thanks, mate.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.